That's funny.
What's up, everybody? This is episode 13, Patrick's favorite number.
It
Junk
is.
Wax, Junk Wax Pod. Shout out to myjunkwaxbox.com. This is three final packs from this box. This is actually the September box. The ones we have left, we're gonna go in the original order and start with football because I feel like I mess with some of my mojo switching the order up.
Well, I kind of like the idea last week of switching it up. Maybe, you know, we dogged football for a while. Maybe if we give it a little confidence to be the main attraction and go last, it would help. But
hey,
I think all three packs last week struggled a little bit.
Yeah, it was bad. Hot garbage 2 weeks in a row, honestly. This complete box has been hot garbage. First, we're going to talk a little bit of junk. So it's fall. Do you have it? And this is my favorite time of year for desserts. Fall desserts are my favorite. Do you have a favorite fall dessert?
I'm a pumpkin guy.
You like it? Pumpkin flavor?
I like pumpkin rolls.
Yes.
And I like pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pies.
But the pumpkin pie's got to be drowned in a little whipped cream, too.
You got to have the whipped cream on top.
That's
got
right.
To. I think my favorite is the pecan pie for fall dessert, but anything pumpkin, dude. I don't even like coffee, but a pumpkin spice latte, I'll drink it.
Right. I'm with you. I'm not a big coffee drinker myself, but, man, I'm a big pumpkin fan, and I – like pumpkin rolls, if I could find somebody to make those, I'd probably give top dollar.
Hey, let me give A&K IGA a little plug here. I got a pumpkin roll from A&K IGA, dude. It was dope. Like I still have some of it, but it smacks.
Well, I was in there yesterday and I walked past it and I thought about getting it, but I don't know.
The store bought stuff you pump the brakes on, of course. Like you can't go into a Thornton's and get sushi.
Right. Well,
you know what I'm
I
saying?
I know there's some people swear by gas station sushi, but I'm gonna be honest with you. Next time I'm in there, I'm gonna get me one.
Yeah,
just
do
based
it.
On your recommendation.
Listen, don't let the store bought stuff fool you because usually it's a bad idea. But I've never gone wrong with like a little packet, a store-bought anything at A&K IGA.
Well, I haven't either, honestly, but I don't want a case of the bubble gut.
Man, that brings me to my next.
Speaking of junk.
Red Lobster got me. Endless Shrimp got me.
Rob's a big fan of the Endless Shrimp. I don't know if he will be now after reading your post, but.
Listen, Rob, I talked to Rob about Endless Shrimp. That's what got me, like, wanting Endless Shrimp. I used to go there all the time when Matt worked there. When Matt McCain worked there, you know, me and my family, my mom and dad, we went there quite a bit. I hadn't been there in a long time. My wife don't really eat seafood a lot. She does eat shrimp, but, yeah, I went for the Endless Shrimp, left with the endless waterfall out of the wrong end. Man.
Screen door.
Woo. It was rough, dude. For like 12 hours. And it hit me immediately. Like, went to the parking lot. And I was like, oh, no.
I'm just going to be honest with you, man. There's not a worse feeling than driving. And not for sure if there's a bathroom in sight. But I can tell you even worse feeling than that is when you get to a bathroom and it's occupied.
That happened to me. That happened to me at the UDF in Wilder. That was my second stop.
You didn't make it very far.
I did. I made it. Listen, I made it to the corner of 42 and Dream Street, which maybe 100 feet from Red Lobster. I had to go to Thornton's. Thornton's pretty rough. Pretty rough bathroom. Pretty rough situation.
But at that time, you don't care.
No. I didn't care at that time. So we almost get to Wilder, and I'm like, I'm going to have to stop again. I don't have to stop again. So choice between Thornton's and UDF, I was like, UDF's going to have a solid situation.
That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, well, I get to UDF, and one of their workers, I don't know what he was doing in that bathroom, but he took forever.
Well, there's a – I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but when you go into Tumbleweed, there's a sign that says a minute depends on which side of the bathroom door you're on. And there's a lot of truth to that.
No doubt. No doubt. All right, just talking about the bubble guts has got me going into bad places. So,
well, I'm kind of putting on the same level, bubble gut and bubble gum.
That's
from
true.
From the junk wax box.
No bubble gum in these packs, thankfully.
Your gut is safe.
Yeah, I'm worried about my gut health. All right, starting it off with, I think this is like the third pack since I've been doing this, of 1990 NFL Pro Set.
I do feel like we've had a lot of Pro Set, and every one of them has been hot garbage.
Every one of them has been hot garbage. This is Series 2 of 90 Pro Set. Maybe we haven't had a Series
We've had
two.
Series 1 because I think I remember asking you what the difference between Series 1 and Series 2 was.
You're right, and Series 1 had, you know, the chance to go to the Pro Bowl in Honolulu.
Man, I'd like to win that.
I think this one does too. Actually, Playbook 4, two ways to win the trip to Pro Bowl. Oh,
maybe. Considering a fall break would have been a good time to go.
Yep, that's true. All right. At 1990 Pro Bowl card, running back Roger Craig. That dude
good
is
start.
A running back.
Good start.
Multiple Super Bowl champion. We've got 1990 Pro Bowlers from the Cardinals, Tim McDonald.
Berman used to do Tim McDonald has a farm.
That's right. Legendary defensive back. We've got nose tackle from the Steelers, Gerald Williams.
Nah, no Steeler card's a good card for me.
Another 1990 Pro Bowler, Jonathan Taylor, wide receiver from the 49ers.
Yeah.
He was a decent number two.
But I'm doing that because he caught the touchdown to beat the Bengals in the 88 Super Bowl.
Gotcha. Cardinals linebacker Eric Hill. I mean, looks like he's losing his footing going after a ball carrier there. We've got Buccaneers linebacker Eugene Marv.
I can't help you there, but
solid tackle.
Yeah. That'd be a rough in the that'd be a 15-yard penalty in today's game.
Man. What do you do? Let's talk a little bit about that for a second. Okay, so the hit on Tom Brady, they call it roughing the passer, right? And then there was one last night they called a roughing the passer that, you know, was just slinging the guy on the ground. Is this a response to the Tua sack? Like, I feel like at the time that should have been unnecessary roughness. I think he was a little too forceful. He didn't have to be. The Bengals player, I don't even remember who it was.
But I think it's definitely the NFL's response because they've already put in new concussion protocol and everything. But I thought the guy that sacked Brady was a textbook tackle, kind of grabbed him by the waist and kind of just took him down. And the guy last night
put his body weight on.
But it's like he'd already stripped the ball from the quarterback and kind of fell on him. Those guys are like, I saw an interview with him. He's like, I'm 320 plus pounds. What do you want me to do? I can't just stop.
Right.
But yeah. The quarterbacks are professional players too. And I understand if you're hitting them up underneath the chin or, you know, targeting above the neck, one thing, but they got to be allowed to be hit too.
Well, here's the bottom line, dude. Nobody wants to see the third string quarterbacks on Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Like Tom Brady gets hurt. Who's their backup? They might put their coach Byron Leftwich in the game.
He might be better than their backup.
He's probably the next best option. So, I mean, it's tough.
It is tough, and I know, but you know, what are these defensive linemen and linebackers when they're running full speed supposed to do?
Right. It.
It's just.
Yeah.
You know, and I always felt like, you know, when a receiver catches the ball and they duck their shoulder to run, and the linebacker's you know, going down to tackle, but yet they hit helmet to helmet. Well, I don't think the linebacker knew that the receiver was going to lower. I mean, it's tough. Situation. I mean, I don't envy the referees whatsoever, but there's got to be some consistency, because I felt like Brady was almost picked up and laid down.
Yeah.
But he's also, I'm not going to say he's the face of the NFL, but he's probably one of the most popular players in the NFL, so they don't want to see him hurt for sure.
He might be the most popular football player of all time. So remember when Tua, the first Tua hit the back injury? The back injury?
Yeah, the one that he fumbled, stumbled, bumbled.
That's how I looked leaving Red Lobster.
Was you walking sideways?
Yeah, I was walking sideways. All right, quarterback, Raider, Jay Schroeder. Schrader. Nice little shot of Jay Schroeder on the back here.
That's probably where he needed to stay, on the sideline with his hat on.
Yeah, he could hold a clipboard pretty well. We got Raiders linebacker Ricky Ellison.
I have heard of Ricky Ellison. I wouldn't have spelled it like that.
I know. Maybe it's Reiki.
Reiki.
Is he Australian? From New Zealand, dude.
Good call. Good call. An Islander. Good call.
A Kiwi. Linebacker, Colts, Jeff Harrod.
Man, there's been a lot of defensive players.
A lot of linebackers in this pack.
Yeah. Pro Set Series 2 is linebacker U.
Quarterback, Seahawks, Dave Craig.
Journeyman. That man played for a lot of teams for a long time.
He played for Seattle for a long time.
Seattle was probably his best stint.
Yeah. Milton College.
Huh. I don't even know where that's at.
Running back, Colts, Anthony Johnson.
That's a rookie card. 1990 draft, second round. Where did he go to college? Does it say?
Notre Dame. Anthony Johnson, Notre Dame running back. Second round pick. I don't remember too much of him. And he couldn't have been too good, because shortly after this, they draft Marshall Faulk, I believe.
Oh, yeah. Faulk was early 90s.
We've got another linebacker, Chargers. Junior Seau.
That's a rookie, too.
Rest in peace, a rookie, Junior Seau.
You're talking about a bad man.
Man, that's a good card.
Yeah. That's probably the best football card we've got.
It has to be. It's a rookie. Here we got another.
Junior Seau struck fear in the hearts of running backs, man, quarterbacks.
He did. He did it for a long time, too.
Yeah.
Probably too long. Center, Rams, Burn Brostek. A rookie.
He's a first-round draft, so.
Why'd they have to do him like that?
Like, you can't even see him.
You can't even see his head.
You can't even see his face. I guess they wanted you to see his hiking technique.
Yeah.
You can't even see the ball.
Poor guy. That's the worst position a center could be in, and they got it on his rookie card.
I would say his kids make fun of him every day.
Wide receiver, Lions, Jeff Campbell. That's a pro set prospect. Jeff Campbell.
I feel like I remember the name, but I don't feel like I remember anything about him.
Colorado. Man, a lot of rookies in here.
Well, seems like there's a lot of cards in this pack.
This is an interesting card for our last one. MVP of Super Bowl III, Willie
Joe Namath. Was that the one where he guaranteed?
Yeah.
Nice.
That's a pretty cool card.
Yeah, it is.
So we got a Junior Seau rookie, a Joe Namath throwback card. pretty good pro set packed. I mean, the standard on pro set has been set pretty low.
Right.
So that was actually pretty good. But
I think that sale card's pretty nice.
Yeah. The 90 pro set Namath on eBay, they're going for $100, and then there's one going for $2.
The Namath one?
Yeah.
You got the $2 one.
Definitely.
All right. That junior sale is going for $1.75 on eBay.
Wow.
I thought it was nice. I don't know. I like that card. I like Junior. I think it's a good card.
Love Junior Seau. Yeah, he represents an era, a different era of linebacking.
He would have got flagged unnecessary roughness every week.
Every play. 1992 Fleer Ultra Baseball. Says, collect Tony Gwynn and award winners. Limited edition subsets. Love Fleer Ultra. Always have, always will.
Man, Tony Gwynn, there was one time I looked up and he had like more four hit games than strikeouts or something. He only struck out like twice all season. That's stupid, man. Stupid. Right,
there's some sticking here on these cards. They're really.
That's gum residue.
There's no gum.
Oh, shoot. I'm trying to speak it into existence.
Hey, but these, the 92 Fleer Ultra, they're cool cards. You're going to like these. As soon as I can get them unstuck. All right. Third baseman for the San Francisco Giants, Matt Williams.
Ooh. I like that. Look at the color on those cards. That's nice.
They're cool cards.
Yeah.
The back, man. The back really, they really went off.
Yeah, I like that. Matt Williams is a solid player.
Awesome player. New York Yankees outfielder, Hensley Mullins. I'm familiar with this Yankee player.
No. I'm watching the Yankees and Guardians right now, and they've not mentioned Hensley Mullins any.
Still one zip Guardians?
No. Yankees hit a home run in the bottom half of that inning. Some hater. Bader or hater or
Milwaukee Brewers outfielder. This dude's a goat around here.
Greg Vaughn. Yes. I actually forgot he played for the Brewers.
Right. Yeah, in 91, he had 27 home runs.
That was back when if you hit 30, you were a man. You were a monster.
Right.
Now, if you don't have 30 at the All-Star break, you don't make the All-Star team.
Here we go. A Detroit Tigers shortstop, Alan Trammell. Heck of a player.
He played for a long time, too. And I think, did he play his whole career with the Tigers?
I believe he did.
I believe he did, too. I think he was, like, drafted in, like, the late 70s, early 80s.
Let's see. It doesn't say, but he was born in 58.
Well, there you go. Late 70s would have been 20 years old.
Here we go. Here's a Tony Gwynn commemorative series. If I didn't know Tony Gwynn bunted a lot, but I bet he bunted better than anyone in the history of baseball.
I guarantee he didn't miss contact.
No doubt.
That's a nice car, too.
Pretty cool. There's only 10 of these printed.
Seriously?
Yeah. 7 of 10 right here.
Wow. That might have low value.
Chicago White Sox catcher, Ron Karkovice.
Ron Karkovice. I do remember Ron.
That's a name. Ron Karkovice.
You don't forget that name if you've heard it.
I mean.
Look at him.
Kind of looks like the catcher on Major League 2.
Rube.
Rube. Baltimore Orioles first baseman, Randy Milligan.
I remember Randy.
I do too.
Wonder if the Orioles were as bad then as they are now.
Yeah, they were bad.
Yeah.
Got a little glare in my camera. I apologize, everyone. Boston Red Sox DH Jack Clark.
He's from Augusta, didn't he? Didn't he graduate from Augusta?
Yeah, that's right. Loaf.
Loaf. That's right. I couldn't remember his nickname.
There he is. There's old Loaf.
Yeah, that's him. His face looks like uneven or not symmetrical. It looked like one eyebrow was up here, one eyebrow was down here. Let's get a look at the back of that card.
Well, he's got a little people's eyebrow going on.
Okay, that's it. Oh, yeah, he does.
He's a little suspicious of what's going on right now.
Rumor has it that he was going to sue The Rock for copyright infringement on the people's eyebrow. He
should have. That's way before The Rock ever did.
That's what I'm saying.
Cleveland Indians outfielder, Albert Joey Bell.
I wonder if the cards back then have any more value to, say, Indians now that they're the Guardians.
Oh. He was an RBI machine.
He was a hitter, man. Wonder when he got switched to Joey.
I don't know.
Or was Joey first, then Albert?
Well, I think he was Albert, then Joey, and then Albert again. Kind of like, it's always weird. Roberto Kelly was Bobby Kelly.
Bobby,
he was
yeah.
Robert Kelly. And then he went back to Roberto. Kansas City Royals pitcher, Mike Boddicker. Baby blues are cool, though. Like,
I love those, man.
Boddicker pitched a long time, too.
Yeah.
Looked like he's well into his career in that picture,
yeah,
too. We got Minnesota Twins pitcher Scott Erickson.
Scott Erickson, not a bad pitcher.
This pack's pretty good. Oh, wow. Cool little picture of Scott Erickson.
Looks like sun may have been in his eyes.
I don't know. I think he's just trying to look mean.
Cool. Yeah, maybe. Intimidating.
Yeah, give me your game face, and that's what he did. We've got Oakland A's pitcher, Ron Darling.
Ron Darling. Is that 1990, or did you say 92?
This is 92.
Okay. So I don't remember if Darling played for the A's in 90.
Yeah, I don't remember that, if he did or not. Ron Darling.
Man, I love these cards.
These are cool. We've got Phillies catcher, Darren Dalton.
Dutch.
Double D. Think of a player.
And if you called him Darren Dutch Dalton, he went by Triple D's.
Won a World Series, right?
Yeah, I think so. Played with Dykstra.
Mm-hmm.
R.I.P. Lenny.
And we finish with Dodger Cal Daniels.
Oh, former Red.
Yeah. He was a Red for what, before this, right? Like,
yeah. He went to the Dodgers.
Played for Pete Rose.
Well, I do know. I just remember a card I had that Cal Daniels was a very hot prospect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think he ever lived up to his potential.
Yeah, he was a cool player, though.
He was a
player that the fans loved.
He may even have been a silver slugger once. I'm not sure, but he never really lived up to full hype.
So the Pete Rose cult is out again. They're upset because Great American Ballpark is going to have betting kiosks.
Sports, Bet MGM, a sports book open year round.
Yeah.
I saw that today. I was going to ask you about that.
Their best player of all time is on the Hall of Fame for betting.
I love it.
It's insane.
Joey Votto will be spending his injured time in Bet MGM.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him. There's not going to be very many reasons to go watch the Reds next year, I'd imagine. The rebuilding process definitely takes longer than a 100 loss season.
Well, and Matt Jones from KSR tweeted today that he was definitely going to buy season tickets now that they're putting in. He's got season tickets, but he was questioning whether or not he's going to renew them.
Yeah, he said he was definitely.
He said he's definitely going to renew him now.
All right. The basketball here is Fleer 95-96.
Ooh, that's right up my it's my senior year.
And we're looking for the Michael Jordan base card. It's a $200 valued card. And we're looking for the Flair Hardwood Michael Jordan. That's a $400 valued card.
It'd be a nice pool.
Hey, I think we've done pretty good tonight. It hasn't been complete hot garbage.
I'd say it's lukewarm. Lukewarm garbage.
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't know if I consider any packed garbage.
These are sticking too. Oh, okay. There we go. Make sure I don't have any cards stuck to each other. Okay, first card. We've got Hornets guard Dell Curry. These are cool cards. Very cool.
Yeah, they are. Dell Curry.
The info
sad that when he's no longer famous for himself as a player, but being the father of Steph Curry.
Right. What's unique about these cards, the info that you usually find on the back is on the front. And then on the back, you got career totals. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, on the front, like the background, is that like a basketball?
Yeah. It's not.
Does it?
Yeah, it's not textured like a basketball, okay. But
it looks like it. That's why I was asking.
Pretty cool. We got Hawks guard / forward, Craig Elo. More famous as being a Cavs.
When I went to Morehead State and I played on certain courts, I was often referred to as Craig Elo.
Oh. Yeah. Because you were the only white guy on the court.
Right. And I made a shot or two, so they called me Craig Elo.
We've got Bucks center Vin Baker. Vin Baker, the slam dunk maker.
Vin Baker was also, I think I even had his Bucks jersey when I was a kid.
Nice.
And I even had the purple one at that. I thought it was a cool jersey with that green and purple.
We've got Cavs forward John Hot Rod Williams.
Hot Rod.
Played a little center too. Backed up Brad Daugherty.
See, that's when those Cavs uniforms I kind of liked.
Yeah, I loved those.
With Mark Price and.
Yeah. This is a unique card here. It's Phoenix Suns guard Kevin Johnson.
KJ.
The mayor of Sacramento.
Is he really?
He still is, but he was at one point.
Nice.
Yeah. Loved Kevin Johnson.
That was the years going through with Barkley when they were pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, 95-96. Actually, I think Barkley's with the Rockets, 95-96. Maybe he was still with the Suns. I don't know. 93 won MVP with the Suns. Do know that. And we've got Kings forward Walt, the Wizard Williams.
The Wizard.
He was a sniper.
Yeah. How big was he? 6'9", 6'10"?
6'7"? I mean, he was pretty tall.
6'7", maybe?
He's listed as 6'9" here.
Okay.
You know what college?
For some reason, Maryland popped in my mind, but I don't think that's right.
Correct. That is right.
Oh.
We've got a double-double card. That's the mailman. Double-double
machine.
Collecting 20 points and 10 rebounds per night. Wow.
I guess you could say the mailman delivered.
Yeah, 52 career double-doubles at this point.
I thought you'd go tell me in that year. I was like, wow. 52 out of 82 games, that's pretty solid.
We've got the Knicks forward, Anthony Mason. Loved Anthony Mason.
Lefty, yeah.
Listen, I know the Knicks are a joke now, right? Everyone knows the Knicks are a joke. They won one playoff game and had flooded Times Square, right? Well, when I was a kid, the Knicks were fun to watch because they were so physical.
Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason,
Charles Smith, Charlie Ward, John Starks. I mean, they just you didn't mess with those dudes.
That's true.
Chris Childs. I mean, the dude gave a two-piece to Kobe Bryant's face. Like, who does that? Kobe, you didn't mess with him. Chris Childs didn't care.
I could tell you that team had a collection of lunch pail guys.
They did. They had a lot of lunch pail guys.
So, and we were talking about, I thought about this after we got off after we quit recording, but the Bad Boy Pistons, we mentioned Rodman, wow. But, you know, Lambeer, Mahorn. Lunch
pail guy.
Yeah, that
Lambeer looks like a lunch pail. He's such a lunch pail guy.
He's built like
one. Like a garbage pail kid. Remember that? Instead
of I love garbage pail kids. Maybe you can see if you can subscribe to a box of them.
Those are probably pretty valuable. I remember
they are
garbage pail kids.
I'd like to have all the ones I had.
Former slam dunk contest winner from the Minnesota Timberwolves, Isaiah J.R. Ryder.
He was the one going between the legs. Wasn't he the one that made that famous?
I think he was he the first to do that in a dunk
yeah, contest? I think he was.
He was a unique player.
Yeah.
And he could go off. He got hot. Born in Oakland, California.
Where'd he go to college, did it say?
LV.
That's what I thought.
We've got a Denver Nuggets guard, a young Jalen Rose.
Ooh. That's got to be close to, well, Kentucky, Michigan was 93, wasn't it?
Yeah. So did you watch the Tim Donaghy thing on Netflix? That game.
I haven't watched it. I forgot about it. What's it called?
I can't remember what it's called right now. It's part of that sports series on Netflix.
I listened to the Whistleblower podcast.
Yeah, you told me about that. And then I watched that documentary. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the Whistleblower podcast.
Man, it's unreal.
He reffed the Michigan-Kentucky game. And I don't know. There was some...
I'm just telling you right now, if you listen to that Whistleblower podcast, there's no way you can walk away and think that professional sports ain't rigged.
That sucks to hear that.
I'm just telling you.
It's too easy to rig for the referees. Like if they
right. Could, I don't think the players are involved. When I say rigged, I'm talking about not on who wins and loses, rigged for Vegas to win. Because Donaghy says that in the final 2 minutes of a game, he can swing at 6 points either way.
Right. Right. Yeah. And it's some of the stuff on that documentary is pretty crazy. What they did, like when he was young, the first into the NBA, he called a travel on Michael Jordan. And the other refs were like, he said, you know, it's a point of emphasis. The spin move, or I think it was the spin move that Jordan did. You know, we're trying to crack down on the spin move if they're traveling to call it. And he calls a travel on Michael Jordan. And the other refs are like, yeah, don't call it on him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got Jalen Rose. Love Jalen Rose. Even though, I mean, I cried that night we lost to Michigan in 93 because I thought that team was unbeatable in that
I tournament. Thought that was the team. I did too. They
ran through the field until they got to Michigan. I remember them thumping. I think it was Wake Forest. They thumped Wake Forest.
With Tim Duncan, wasn't it?
Yeah, they had an unbelievable team. And Kentucky thumps them. They get to the Fab Five. And Rodney Dent had the worst game, his worst game as a Wildcat. I remember that. Roderick Rhodes, that was when he started his spiral at Kentucky.
Yeah, I think he was already thinking about coaching a Cordia at that time.
Right. All right, last one. One of my favorite players. One of my favorite players, especially from this era. Clifford Robinson. They call him Uncle Cliffy in some circles. And in his closest circles, they called him Uncle Spliffy. And I'll let you figure that out. But he unfortunately passed away, I think, last year.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and he was just a cool dude and had a long career and is probably the most famous headband wearer.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask me, he's probably one of the...
I mean, he was the first to...
One of the first I remember wearing one consistently.
Consistently, every game. Uncle Cliffy had a headband to match his Blazers jersey. I think he went to the Pistons later and had a run. Not a bad pack there.
No. And of course, I think a lot of that is, you know, that's in our kind of our growing up time. We watched a lot of basketball at that time. So,
yeah, I was a big fan of Clifford Robinson. Big fan. That's a pretty cool card, too. That's a
hard Did you say he played for the Pistons?
I think later he played for the Pistons.
Okay, I thought so.
This is a hardwood leader. Only 27 of these made. Sixth man of the year in 93.
What did he lead in, does it say?
Doesn't say. There's Blazers top scorer, 94-95. Number three on rebounds that year and second in block shots.
So let me ask you this. This may sound like was there only 27 teams in the NBA then?
Yeah.
There never was an odd number, was there?
No.
I just wonder if they maybe did a team lead, a hardwood leader from each team, but 27 of them.
I don't know. But I guess he got hardwood leader because he was the Blazers' top scorer. It must have meant Clyde Drexler hadn't made his move to the Rockets at that point.
Right. Well, not a bad week.
Yeah, 21.3 points per game for Uncle Cliffy. Yeah, not a bad week. A lot better than the first two weeks from this box. Shout out to myjunkwaxbox.com, as usual. And we'll be back soon. Hopefully we'll get a box before our next episode. But check us out on YouTube, the Toddcast YouTube channel, take Spotify and Apple Podcasts. This has been episode 13 of the JWP. Thanks, PK.
Yes, sir.
We out.